Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. Then we start the reading from verse 1. Luke chapter number 8 from verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and villages, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Amen. He was preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Yes, verse 2 now. Quickly. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Amen. So I'm still taking on that series, Fruit to Your Account. Amen. All right, let's also check the book of John. The book of John, chapter number 15. John chapter number 15 from verse 1 now. Now I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Yes. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth what? Not fruit, he taketh away. All right. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? Much more fruit. Amen. So God wants us to bear fruit. Number one, it has to become a reality in our heart that angels are not going to come to the earth to push the cause of the gospel. It is a privilege that has been given to the sons of men. That's the privilege. It's an assignment, but it's also a privilege. Are you seeing that now? All right. So angels won't come from heaven both to preach or to finance the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Both to preach and to finance what? The gospel. All right. Of many things Jesus needed when he came to the earth, he needed the gift of men. He needed the gift of men, both in the place of service. But we also saw that in the place of ministering to him, of their substance. Are you seeing that now? All right, so I've been taking this for a while. There is the place of partnering with the gospel, but there is a place of partnering with the anointed. There are two different things. Do you understand that now? All right, one very important reason why I like this Luke chapter number 8 is that the people highlighted there, all right, they are individuals that they are doing well. Now, one of the things I've found out is that people find it convenient to give to the cause of the gospel when they don't have much. I'm going to explain how that happens. And they find it difficult to give when they have more. Now, that's quite ironic, right? You'll think that the one who has more will give more. But that's not the way. I have found out that in the kingdom, the more God blesses 90% of the people, they are giving drops. Why? People give more when they are broke because they are into transactional giving. Give me, I give you, so bless me. Then when God bless them, you see their real color. You see, at a certain time, people were coming to give in church. Everybody, it was time, what we can say, offering time, okay? And because of these cultures, churches have found a way to have psychological approach to giving, all right? So that people can be compelled, all right? But a certain woman came when everyone casted their offering and gave. The woman gave her own portion, all right? And as far as what everyone had given is concerned, in the physical, that was the least. But Jesus said she had given the greatest. Why? Because giving is judged based on proportion. If God increases you and you don't know how to increase your giving, then you are not a giver. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying? It must be part of the yearnings of your heart that God should increase you so that you can partner more with the gospel. It must be a burning desire. Are you seeing that now? It must be a what? Somebody say burning desire. Come on, say it again, burning desire. It doesn't matter the slightest increase. You consider the furtherance of what? The gospel. There must be certain things that are working to your account. To your account that God raised this person to do it. Are you with me now? I don't like when pastors teach the issue of giving emotionally. It generates offense. Relax. The subject of giving is not a way to get back at the church. It is a way to raise us. Is that okay? So both myself and yourself, we are under the same word. It's a double-edged sword. It is piercing the preacher as it pierces the people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I go back, listen to these things, and review my life. What can I do better? How can I? And I'm not thinking about this because I am the lead pastor. No, no. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Good. So it must be a burden in our heart to be a part of the gospel. We must make generosity towards kingdom assignment a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Amen. Somebody say generosity. Say it again. Say generosity. Let me show you more scriptures. 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 16 now. Alright, he which sweat sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which sweat bountifully shall reap how? Bountifully. Alright, can we read this in Amplified, please? Every man according as he proposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly. See, whenever you are under pressure, that duress, that if I don't give, nobody will say, I'm a stingy person. Don't give up. Except you just want to throw it in the wind. There's no reward for that. Okay? This me preaching also, I'm a planned person. I plan my offering. I plan my giving. The only thing that can make me change it in any meeting is if the Holy Ghost inspires it. It doesn't matter any tight corner anybody can put me. That plan is the plan. Bible says, as you have proposed, the Holy Ghost can change it. If I see a need, I can. I don't have to wait for God to say no. You get what I'm saying? I can meet the need. But I have proposed in my heart before coming. This is my offering. Now come and say, if you don't give, you die. No, no, no. Giving, the teaching of giving, once it mixes with emotions, it's not acceptable. Because you make people, all right, go against the law of the scripture. We don't give grudgingly. No pressure. Amen? No pressure. And you see, there's something I've noticed, a trend in Africa. It looks like the messages that trend are the messages that they beat people up. No, it's not. Somebody say no pressure. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and propose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God takes pleasure in prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, all right, giver. That is a joyous giver, one who is prompt to do it. What the Bible is saying is that God takes more delight in the joy you have in giving to him. That, oh, it's offering time. And by the way, do you notice that offering time people don't dance? It is a time to rejoice. That we are of the abundance that God has blessed us with, giving. Oh, that I can look at God's assignment and I can that this thing is flourishing to my account. It's a privilege. Amen. It's a privilege. Said, it's offering time. Okay. That's why some people start looking for change. You know, I've seen cases where people gave offering and they collected change that is more than the offering they gave. Yes. So, unfortunately for the fellow, that day, there was no one that gave 1,000 naira note. And the fellow said, 1,000, so I'm going to collect this. And there was no 1,000 naira note in the offering basket. And collected more change than what he gave. Are you seeing that now? It's wrong. Said, God loves a joyful giver. Are you happy when you give?
Yes, sir.
Are you excited?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Or God is squeezing it from your hand? Are you excited?
Yes,
talk to me now. Be excited. The excitement is the joy is the sweet smelling incense. Not by compulsion. Oh, we have something to do in church. All right. Do you know giving is also a responsibility? It is our responsibility. There's none of the church property that is bought in my name or my wife's name or our family name. It's Faith of Light Church. That's why I don't enter any of our centers as the owner of what? It's Faith of Light Church. It's the church property. Do you know that Dunamis per Sunday service spends over 10 million naira just for transportation? For transportation. Somebody say glory to God. All right. For transportation alone. Yeah. Just transport. Not gen. And when you use such facility, there has to be consistent light. Because if you don't have light there constantly, somebody will come and bury charm there. And they will say they had a vision and you are in trouble. There has to be consistent light, constant CCTV camera, constant security, police presence. Do you think greatness is a joke? You see, an average person in church does not have an idea of the cost to run service. An average person doesn't have an idea. That 10 million naira is just transport, not fueling. Not other big law. My head can't even process too many things now. To show you many other logistics. Are you following what I'm saying here? But do you know that offering and tithe does not cater for that? It is few benevolent individuals. Those who make the church really run. Because many people still struggle with tithe and offering. In all honesty, are you faithful? Do you give tithe of all? By that I mean, I understand that you give tithe of your salaries. What about the tithe of your gift? And what I mean is that somebody gifted you 20,000, somebody gifted you 10,000, somebody gifted you 50,000, somebody gifted you 100,000. It's money. I said it's money. We think about that. So I'm concerned. We have to understand. It is our responsibility. Oh, the church, we don't have this, we can have it. I'm going to do it. This is my father's house. I'm going to do it. I shared with you, just one of us. I mean, she's one of us in the UK. Just saw my mic and decided she was going to change it. Said, I need to be a part of this Abuja work. And when she was talking to me, I just shook my head. I said, not many believers have this revelation. I need to be a part of this Abuja work. Yeah. It is our work. It is our work. You can't let it drag. See, let me say this to you. God's work must not drag when the resources to make it run is in your pocket. That is not good. Generosity is built. Nobody becomes generous overnight. You learn it. Now let's continue that scripture, King James. All right, every man as he proposed it. Yes, go to verse 8 now. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficient in all things, may abound unto every good work. Yes. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both ministered bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. So when God ministers seed to you, will also minister bread. See, God is not a thief. Now listen, one primary thing giving does is that it must take away greed from your heart. Yeah. It must take away the love for money. But God rewards it. He does. Love for money is a dangerous thing. Go and ask Ananias and Sapphira. It's a very critical matter. It's a very critical thing. Amen. Are you with me now? I said, are you with me? Are you sure? Say it loud and clear, I'm a giver. Say it again, I'm a giver. Say it again, I'm a giver. Yeah. Increase the fruit of your righteousness. So it is righteous act to give. It is the right thing to give. It is the right thing to be so passionate and concerned about the kingdom that you want to be a part of it. God loves a generous giver. Now let's turn our Bible's book of Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Let's start from verse 9. Now I want you to fasten your gaze on that scripture, because there are things you must learn from it. See, the subject, now there are things that have been bastardized in the body of Christ, but that doesn't make it wrong. For instance, people have taken the subject of material prosperity out of context. That doesn't mean God doesn't want us to prosper. People have taken the subject of giving out of context. There are places where people are practically robbed of their resources. All forms of gimmicks to raise funds. I believe there's a project. Guys, there's a project. This is our Father's work. Make the decision. I will be a giver. Some of you still struggle with every year. We start the year by fasting. We give first fruit. Are you seeing that your concern about giving first fruit became much as your finance grew? You didn't have problem with it when it was 15,000. You had problem when the money became 300,000. Yeah. All this money. Oh, yes. I have one of my spiritual daughters in UK. The first time she gave her first fruit, maybe 400 and something thousand. By the following month, she sent her tithe. So I called her. I said, what's going on? Then God just shifted. How many of you are excited when it's time to give first fruit? See, anybody can take any doctrine against it. And them savvy. But you can't possibly tell me that we honor God with the first income of the year. You are not giving me. Me too, I give my first fruit. So see, once it's December or January, see, some people will start posting that the year is starting now. Some mumu will go and carry their first salary and give their pastor. That's what they will say. That's what they say online. They bully you into thinking you are a fool. forgiven. You have to pick one. You want to be wise before the world and foolish in the real sense of kingdom also, or otherwise. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. It's a lifestyle. Now, Paul, speaking to the Philippians, said, "Those things which you have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lack opportunity. But not that I speak in respect of want, for what I have learnt, in whatsoever state I am, to be content." I see that it's not now that minister of God have been careful with the choice of giving. They don't think I'm lacking, though. That's why I personally have things to do, birthdays or anniversary. In all honesty, I'm careful, though. We give. Let me tell you something you don't know. Anybody that I know doesn't follow me to be blessed by my life, I don't take seeds from them. Anybody that I perceive that the esteem is not intact, that feels the seed is the way to my heart, I don't take seed from them. In this church, there's no seed that is a way to any pastor's heart. Love God. And serve him. What do you mean? You can bring 20 billion now. We'll still bash you the next minute if you do something that is bad. And say, "Your money is there in case." I'm that kind of person. Your money is there in case. You change your mind. We've not touched cobble. Any form of giving that makes you a difficult person to be corrected is not giving. It's politics. Say, "And I will withdraw what I give." You just endorsed your replacement. Say, "That's all I give." What do you give? The one who gave you life has never said after giving you life. Tell your neighbor, calm down. Said, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in everything I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. All right, through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed to Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." No church. So when he prayed for them that my God shall supply all your need, this is where it was coming from. Communicate. See, it's good. Give to the church, but learn to also give to your pastors. We have resident pastors in different branches. Some of them travel into that city every weekend. Some of you have never brought them water. Never brought them water. "Hey, pastor, I just saw this shoe. Correct one. Shabe. I think it will size you, sir. You want to check it?" You've encouraged that person. True? Some of you are looking now. Nobody to just buy a handkerchief. "Talk to me. Have I lost you there? Uh-huh. Oh, I saw this tie. I feel you might like it." I have our pastors there. I want you to learn to take care of your pastors. They are good people. And they are laborers. By default, I am more into the body of Christ. So I have more reach. So by implication, many people want to give to me. Which is not bad. That's why me too, I have structures for flowing out. But I want you to honor these men too. Their birthdays. Their weddings. Naming ceremonies. Some of them have kids. You can lay in your heart to buy Pampers. Some of them will be getting married soon. Are you planning as a church to be there to honor them? So because Paul said, you communicated with me in my affliction. Very, very important. Very, very important. It is key. So ask God to place resources in your hands so you can be a giver to the kingdom and also help your heart to give. That's one prayer we'll pray. Please pray in the next 1 minute. Ask God for resources and the heart to give.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details: 2215005289 UBA.